Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Time's average. Getting in the reggae mood going. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and welcome to the Backyard Labrish. I hope Mr. Kevin McLeod was able to set the mood for you, because this is the time when we take a virtual trip back to the island in your favorite chair, wherever it was, on the beach in a hammock, on the patio in a lawn chair, laying on the grass, gazing up at the beautiful stars in the sky, or just on top of the roof. But wherever you would be at that special time, now that we're approaching December, when the Christmas wind starts to blow across the island, and we just know that Christmas is on its way. We did not have that Thanksgiving, but now we get to double dip. Because even though it's Thanksgiving here, we're back on the island celebrating. So I hope you're comfortable with whatever you're drinking, whether it's tea or that nice rum and Coca-Cola. Anyway, I'm being very flirtatious this evening because I'm prepping for the Big Turkey Day, and I hope you are too. And I'm just thrilled, as always, to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So now that you're settled in, I would like to introduce you to a very special person this evening. I've just been blessed with several guests who are just so anxious to share their stories with the world about growing up in Jamaica. Because no matter where we are, no matter where you're tuning in from this evening, whether it's cold or hot or in between, I know you can go back to the days, if you grew up in Jamaica, where everything was cool. So we have with us this evening, who has taken time off from a very busy life, and we're all very busy this week because, you know, tomorrow is the big day. So Miss Angela Thomas is gracing her with our presence this evening, and she's not going to be too long because she's in between a move, but I convinced her that she would be welcomed, and everybody's ready to hear her story, and I see we have lots of callers on the board, so I want to take a minute to thank you all for calling in and being so supportive, and also the people listening online or checking in online. Sorry I'm not able to interact with you. If at any time you want to join the Labrish, you must call 718-766-4558. And without any further ado, I see that Miss Angela is here, and I'm going to open up the mic and welcome her. So she'll be happy to share her story with you. So in a minute, good evening. You've got Margaret.
Good evening. Good evening, Margaret. How are you?
I am wonderful. How about you?
It's awesome to be online with you tonight.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm honored. Just be speaking to a Kingstonian. You know, I'm a Kingstonian, too. But you beat me to it because you're born under the clock.
Yes, right there, Wall Street, Rosemary Lane was the place of my birth.
But do you know that most people from Jamaica will say they're born under the clock because Kingston was used to be in the old days, right?
But I can iterate, you know, that it's right there in anybody who's familiar with that area, Law Street and Rosemary Lane, which is, I think you'd say east of the downtown area under the clock. That's where I was born, right at home.
Wow. Interesting. Now, would you want to share with us what year that was?
What year?
Uh-huh. Okay, no, you don't have to.
1958.
Wonderful,
yes.
Wonderful. Yeah, well, you know, I'm a senior, and part of what I do is encourage all the seniors. You're not a senior yet. To embrace the fact that we're seniors. And we're still, you know, trying to leave a legacy for the younger generation. Because, you know, you're never too old to participate, to learn, to grow. And so I think it can be very embracing for the younger folks to have, not you because you're not there yet, but people like me and some of our other guests to really celebrate the fact that, to me, I was fortunate enough to be born in Jamaica, because I really do think I was fortunate to be born there.
Absolutely.
So the floor is yours now to tell us your story.
Well, you know, it's really amazing that you started, you know, bringing us back. And I remember way back when in Jamaica, yes, we didn't celebrate Thanksgiving, but Christmas was a big thing. We had our Christmas market, and of course there was always, my mom is a seamstress, and she always dressed us up in whatever the colors were for the season, whether it's stripe or polka dot. We were always well decked out in our colors, and we look forward to going downtown to the market where you had all the wares, the vendors selling their wares. You had the Junkanoo, the band, and the figures, the effigies, which were scary at the time, but you get to appreciate them now when you see them, because it brings back fun memories.
Oh, and
we also had, one of the things I also look forward to was the pantomime.
Uh-huh.
Pantomime was a big deal for me because from I was a child, I was always performing on stage, and we grew up in that culture where, you know, the pantomime was a big thing for Christmas, so we always enjoy that.
Was you still participating in that? Louise Bennett.
Sorry?
Was Louise Bennett still
time
period?
Oh, yes. Louise Bennett, Miss Mas Ran.
Yes.
All the famous, you know, actors and actresses, and of course the music and the dance and everything
dancing,
was very
exhilarating.
So that was something we look forward to for the season. So it was always a big thing. And then growing up in Jamaica, it was always to me, it was always very, very culturally, you know, dynamic, because we had the different cultures interacting, and I was always fascinated. You know, we have the Chinese, and downtown Princess Street was like little Chinatown. Most of the vendors were all Chinese, so you get to interact there. And growing up in a diverse culture is something that I think we don't really appreciate it as much until we get away
we
from
leave.
It.
We leave. Mm-hmm.
I know,
agree
when
with
you.
When it
comes to a place like America and you have so much racism and, you know, cultural, you know, agitation, you know, we grew mm-hmm. up with the diversity, so we are more comfortable interacting with the different cultures. So it was really fun during that time. And then growing up in Doheny Park, that was a big deal for me because I got to experience I was raised by a single mom for my younger years, but my uncle took over the father role, and it was a little challenging for me because I was under strict discipline. He was a disciplinarian, but now I see, you know, definitely it was worth it because we got to really appreciate all the different, you know, discipline that was instilled in us at that time.
Well, would you want to share some of what you had to obey and adhere to?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Would you like to share some of how the rules and regulations was?
Well, actually, it's really funny because curfew was a big thing for him, and one particular incident that really stood out in my mind is as a teenager, we had a group of guys that we usually interact with, and there was this big party coming up, and I told him my curfew was 10 o'clock. And, of course, I was ready from about 8 o'clock, waiting to be picked up. And then it was nearing 10 o'clock, and nobody was there, so I started taking off my clothes. And then I heard a big commotion outside, and when I looked at about 10 guys were spread all over the front door coming to pick me up. And, of course, my uncle was on the veranda because in Doheny Park we had little porches in front of the house, and he was startled, and he thought, you know, he was being invaded or something. And my mom came out and said, you know, what's going on, guys? He said, well, you know, we're here to pick Angela. He said, you see the time? The only way we can come, she can leave here is if I go with her. So they said, oh, come on, Frankie, come on.
All right.
My mother and I went to a party that night, and she had a great time. They kept her all busy, so, you know, he was really very strict in terms of curfews and stuff. So.
Well, did you
fun.
Get to go beyond 10 o'clock because your mother was there?
Right, she was chaperoning me, so I left a little bit after 10, so I didn't get back till about 12 o'clock at night.
Wow. So tell us about your early school days now, Miss Angela.
Okay, most of it was at my Doheny Park where we had most of the experience there was really fun memories. We usually have a...
Who are we talking about now?
Doheny Park Primary School.
Okay.
From there, I was always a very talkative child, so most of the teachers knew me, but I managed to do well. I passed my common entrance and went on to Holy Childhood High School, which is a Catholic school in Half a Tree, Skibo Avenue, 10 Skibo Avenue was the address, I remember it vividly. And that was run by some nuns, Sister Stephanie, Sister Goretti.
Wow.
At that time, we had very strict rules about our uniforms, how long our skirts could be, how high the afro could be, and, you know, we had a beret that we wore. We had to wear it all the time, and there were very, very strict rules. But, of course, there's always the mischievous one that always get away with stuff. And I remember once a very good friend of mine, I won't call any names, but she's always getting in trouble, and we had, as a, we were all girls school there, so we usually interact with our sports. We usually have, like, the boys from George's, you know, the old boys school, and they would come over when we had our sports day. So this particular day, she got in trouble, and we were actually heading out. We were supposed to meet a group of people to go for the sports, the boys sports championship. And she was in detention in front of the headmistress office on one foot and holding one of her ears. She had to stand outside.
Oh, that was the punishment.
Punishment, yes.
So in other words, it was a balancing act.
But
oh my gosh!
So
that was really the punishment. She had to stand on one foot and hold one ear.
Correct, correct. In front of
how long? For how long?
Well, she was there for a good 45 minutes outside.
Wow! So what happened if she fell down?
I'm sorry.
What happened if she fell down? I mean, I had to myself doing that and not falling.
Well, it was all fun to us, really, because she had a very good sense of humor, and she always keeps us in stitches. So it was.
Well,
it
you
was
mean
fun.
The nun?
I'm sorry?
So that was in lieu of getting caned?
Yes. Well, getting
oh,
a detention.
I got you.
You know, getting a detention. No, we didn't do caning at that time. We do detention. You had to go to detention.
Oh,
but it was fun. You know, we talk about it all the time now, you know, when we get together back in Jamaica. But another good experience for me was actually being a part of our magazine committee. I was one of the co-editors, and we got to meet distinguished people like Lady Bustamante. We got to interview. It was all about, the feature was about women, you know, strong women in the community. And really a great time interviewing her and just, you know, getting all her stories and, you know, putting it in the magazine. That was also good.
Did you get to meet her husband?
No, unfortunately, I didn't. No, I think he was as well that day. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember. But, no, we didn't get to meet him. But, you know, she was able to tell us, you know, more on, you know, the things that you wouldn't read about, you know, the things that they went through, you know, in their courtship and actually the whole political scene.
Neat. Do you still have a copy of the magazine? Did you keep one?
Yes, I actually do. My mom has it. I do have a copy of the magazine.
Oh,
yes.
That must is really going to be a collector's item.
Yes, I think it will be eventually.
Right, I see. Okay, well, what was the first school? What was your first school experience? You have memories of that?
Early, I remember I went to Holy Family. That, again, was a Catholic. My mom is Catholic. We were raised Catholic. And I remember getting into trouble a lot because, again, I was very talkative and was very inquisitive about, you know, different things and would ask different questions sometimes out of turn. But one of the thing that sticks out in my mind was we were being dismissed, and of course I raised my hand not to ask a question, but I had to really go to the bathroom. And I guess the teacher thought I was just being mischievous again, you know, raising my hand. So she ignored me and said, you know, you have to wait until dismissal prayer was finished. Of course, I could not wait. So I ran straight home from school that evening. So
did you get a detention for that?
I still remember that incident, going home and being punished after the fact. But that was something that I
So in other words, you got punished for wanting to go to the bathroom.
Well, you see, they didn't know that at the time, you know, when I left. So, of course, when I ran out of class, my teacher sent a note to my mom. And normally, you know, your teacher is, you know, the rule. So whenever teacher says you did something wrong, you know, she
Do you remember how old you were when that happened?
Oh, man. I'm thinking I probably was about 7 or 8.
Wow.
Yeah,
interesting.
Really young. Yeah. But we had some good times, really good times. That's the first recollection. And then from that school, I went to Doheny Park Primary School and then to Holy Child High School.
I see. So I noticed by your notes that you were the head girl in 76.
We had the deputy head girl. The head girl, and I was the deputy head girl. Yeah.
So it's like being the secretary to the president.
No, it's like being the vice president. Yeah, the president.
Okay.
You know, can't make an engagement or for some reason can't carry out his duty, you know, the vice president.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Basically the same thing. But that was an experience because you got to interact with the student body and also the faculty. And you got to represent the students at various functions and various administrative process. And when we voted, you know, there was the thing about we had a big vote on the right length of the skirts and the height of the afro. And, you know, we get to represent the students. And it you know, we actually had a little fashion show with the different lengths. And heights of hairdos, and we got to be an integral part of that. So that was a great experience into the whole. I guess that piqued my interest into the whole political and process. And from then, in sixth form, I also participated in the sixth form association, which was very vibrant at that time. We had sixth formers from all the high schools. In Jamaica, we had the Kingston High Schools, and some of the ones out in the country would participate as well. And we had a very vibrant association that really participated in a lot of critical decisions that even though I don't know if you remember this, but there was a time when we had to pay some education tax was introduced, and we were very, very vocal. In fact, I remember after going to CAS, there was a big demonstration, which I practiced. We had like a sit-in on the lawn.
Oh, that's long after. What year are we talking about?
That was in 1984.
Okay, that's long after my time, honey. I left Jamaica in 1959.
Okay, yes.
So you know, I those things happened long after, and that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about, you know, getting some history down, not just on paper or on the internet, but in voice. I think it's so much richer and more meaningful when people, you know, tell their stories themselves, because you can feel their passion and the love for what they did. That was funny or passionate about something, you know, it comes through. And I think that is so, it's important for the next generation. And I'm sure that's some of them are finding some of these shows because our numbers are really increasing. You know, anyone can access the show after it's done. It's not like regular radio that once they don't catch you when you're there, it's gone forever. I love this technology. And I want to take a moment, if I may, to again welcome our callers on the line. And I see we have people calling in from 718-678-9179-73631, just all over the place. So I want to encourage you to hit one on your telephone if you'd like to interact with Angela or myself, or make a comment, or you can recall anything triggers something in your memory that you'd like to share. Because we're here each week at 8 o'clock, and what I'm trying to do is to have as much information as I possibly can, because especially from my period and the people who are more in my period, there's not a lot of information about the culture as it was in our day, because like the rest of the world is changing, so is Jamaica. So they're doing different things now. Do you know if things have changed at the schools you mentioned, Angela?
Well, actually, the Holy Child High School, I got the opportunity to visit back in 2005. And, yes, it was a little culture shock for me, because I see where there is a lot more freedom in terms of the dress code. And
do they still wear uniforms?
Yes, they still wear uniforms, which is good. Yes, they still wear uniform, but it's much more relaxed. And the beret is a thing of the past. I didn't see one person wearing a beret, so I don't know if they've done away with it totally.
Did you have a chance to look at or know about the curriculum, and has there been any changes, dramatic changes that, compared to your day?
No, I didn't look at the curriculum per se, but what I did see was the structural changes. They have built a lot of extracurricular facilities like swimming pools and I think they have a new science building, so I know they have improved the structural, composition. So they have definitely, I'm sure, increased the curriculum.
And did you see an increase in the amount of, is it still an all-girls school?
Yes, it's still an all-girls school.
And it's still run by the nuns?
Yes, it's still not run by the nuns, but I think the main sister Stephanie, and at the time when I went, she was Mother Stephanie, and Sister Goretti. I think, I'm not sure that they're still headmistress and deputy headmistress. I don't think they are. At this time.
But she's still a mother. So she still has the title of mother.
No, she's actually Sister Stephanie.
Is that a demotion?
I don't know. I didn't.
If anybody on the board knows, please tell me, because
I would say it's a demotion.
I have a curious mind.
It's probably just a switch of, based on a responsibility. Somebody is taking
well,
over her position.
I suppose the mother would be the head kahuna in charge of everything, and his sister report to another person up top.
Correct.
Okay.
I think it's more like
there's a demotion in a way, but not really as dramatic as it sounds.
I don't know really how
did
that
you,
works.
Did you notice any relaxation in the rules and regulations? Tell me some of the rules that you had. I know about the skirt and the hair, but was there anything else that was significant?
Well, one of the things that we weren't encouraged to do is loiter after school. Like, we are in the middle of halfway tree, as it was then, and there was the Aquarius, which was a big record shop there, and it was like the central area where all the schools congregate. So we were discouraged from congregating there because, you know, it was frowned upon at that time. So we would sometimes get detention if we you know, if we're seen just hanging out, not you know, going anywhere, just hanging around and
right,
loitering, as they would say.
Now
yes,
it's hanging out, but in those days you would be loitering, I suppose.
Loitering, correct. So,
yes,
you know, maybe if a prefect, as we call them, would pass and, you know, report us, we could possibly get in trouble sometime. And,
but the kids are allowed to hang out now.
Yeah, they seem to be very lax. I don't. This is 205, so I'm not sure exactly what's going on now because I haven't.
Yeah,
been
more
back.
Hanging out might be going on now.
Well, I know there's a lot of changes in that area, so I don't know how conducive that is to just congregate in that area. So I
can't speak to that.
But other things too, we had a lot of fruit trees around. We weren't allowed to pick the fruits from the trees. And
what kind of fruit trees did you have?
We had mango trees, and there were some orange trees, and what else was there? Well, there was all variety of mangoes, and I remember my sister got in trouble once. She got caught picking one of the from the mango tree, and she had to have detention. Of course, we were all there, and we ran away when we saw sister coming. But my sister is always a goody two shoe one, and she didn't run, so she got in trouble.
But I hope she got to keep the mango.
Well, we had the mango, so we ran. But we had the spoils, so she got the detention for us. But she got to share it when we got home, so that's good. And talking about mangoes, one of the things that I remember as well as you were talking, we had, there was a time when the fashion was to wear boy shirts. So we would all dress up in our boy shirt and walk around the, where Calabar is, that area, Calabar going into Constant Spring. We had some friends that live in that area, and we would model our different outfits. With everybody had on a shirt.
This was part of the uniform? You made it part of the uniform?
No, this was a group of us. You know, you had your group that hang out together, like a group of about 6 girls, and we would go to different houses and pick mangoes and just hang out for the day. But the fashion was all about the men's shirt, you know, which one would have the most fashionable looking one. So it was a trend at that time.
I got you. So would you say that all of that prepared you for your career today? And because I know that's how I feel about, you know, growing up in Jamaica, that it was a great country and a society that really helped me be who I am here.
Yes, I totally agree with that because I'm in the hospitality business and I get to work with people from different cultures. And one of the fascinations for most visitors when they go to a destination is to really experience the culture of the country and really experience, you know, living like the natives, the Jamaicans, or wherever they go. And, you know, being able to talk about my experience and talk about the diversity as our background in, you know, being raised in a culture like Jamaica, it really allows us to be more open to different cultures, more more inquisitive about, you know, what's living in different parts of the world. And one of the things that I noticed in this country they don't do, which was one of my favorite subjects, geography. I used to love geography in schools. They more talk about the American, you know, they don't talk about world geography, you know, India and Africa. They don't do it as a routine as how we had it in Jamaica. And that's where, you know, you get to learn about the different cultures. So being in the hospitality business is really very, very invigorating for me because I get to draw on my culture and also my openness about experiencing other cultures. And languages was also a big thing for me in school. I did French and Spanish. Unfortunately, I didn't pursue them as aggressively as I should. But we also had German, you know, just the experience of, you know, dealing with the different cultures. You know, it's really, it has impacted me to be able to share my experience and just, you know, a lot of people just know about Bob Marley when they're here in Jamaica. You know, they immediately go to Bob Marley and dreadlocks, and you know they're fascinated with the language, and you know I have to explain about, you know, our British, you know, our history being a British colony and the patois and, you know, all the different
right. Yeah. Because they really think that we speak a different language, really.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, because I've been asked, well, when there have been times when people say to me, you know, where are you from? And I say, originally from Jamaica. And they say, well, you don't speak the language, you know. I didn't know that.
Exactly.
You know, there's an accent, but they're not sure where it's from. But,
right.
You know, in my day when I grew up, we didn't know patois, but it wasn't spoken in our homes, you know, the real true patois.
Right, right.
So, it was, we don't speak like that to each other or, you know, in school and things like that in those days. So it's really interesting to me when people will ask me, you know, where I'm from, and then they'll say, oh, well, you don't speak the language. I say, well, I can.
Yes, I always try to equate it, like, you know, it's even the French, you know, there are some places that the French is, even in France, there's different, you know, colloquial
dialect.
In dialect, so... It's even myself, I went to Mandeville once, and I could not understand what the children were saying. You know, they had to translate.
I thought I was the only one. I remember somebody came to visit from some other part of the island, and although I knew the Kingston patois, I could not understand them. You're the first person that ever brought that up, because I was in that situation when I was a little girl.
Yes, I could not.
And
I was like, what did he say? And they had to translate it for me.
Right.
Wow.
It was like they were talking a different language that I did not understand. I think I remember to this day, I think they were from, I don't remember where they were from, but they were saying, away be, ma, away be. And I'm saying to somebody else, what are they saying? And it was actually, where is it?
Right.
See what I mean? But on that part of the island, but what's interesting to me is how most foreigners believe that we were all doing the same thing all over the island, eating the same way, talking the same way, and all of us knew each other.
Exactly. Because
the minute you say you come
island.
From Jamaica, they say, oh, yes, you know, I know so. Do you know so-and-so? And the first thing is, where are they from? And they say, Jamaica. It's a big place. Well, it's a big place to me. It was a big place to me. I didn't know it was so tiny till I came here.
Exactly.
But they really expect you to, well, not really expect, but they're a little surprised when you don't know these people, are you?
Exactly.
It's really, really funny. But, you know, I my passion right now, or as has been for the last couple of years, is just interacting with all my peers and just celebrating. The culture is so diverse and beautiful, and it's such a wonderful mix. And
mm-hmm.
all I have is very fond memories because I left there long before there was as much, you know, tension and crime, even about politics. Because in the
right.
old days, I was reading a story from about our guest, the last guest that she's not with us anymore, but about Rosemary Brown. And I was reading from her book, and she talked a lot about the politics of the early days. You know what I mean? When it was
mm-hmm.
Norman Manley and Mr. Bustamante, and people of opposing parties would get together at a meeting. There would be banter, you know, between them sometimes, but never hostility.
Exactly. That's what I remember, too. That's what I remember.
It was a common time when things were a lot different. So,
right.
But it was, for me, I was very intrigued with her story, and perhaps we'll pick up, I didn't get to do all of it, but I'll perhaps pick up with some of it some other time. But I really, I would love for people on the board to share their stories or things that they remember. And as I say, we have so much to celebrate. You know, a lot of times we tend to dwell on the things that are not right. But
exactly.
if we stop to count our blessings, especially now at a time about giving thanks, I know that I really give thanks that I was brought up in a period where, you know, a whole village could raise a child, and
yes.
that's what it was all about. I was
mm-hmm.
brought up in a culture where there was diversity. I saw people of different races, different colors, and different parts of the society, you know what I mean? And it was
exactly.
things were just so different. And I think that it's really it has enriched me, and I'm sure that there might be a lot of people who feel that way, as opposed to growing up in a country where I was perhaps more sheltered or different, where you are not exposed in
exactly.
Certain ways, you know, to different people around you. So I just consider myself very fortunate. And
absolutely.
I have nothing but celebration and joy about the fact, and I'm proud to be a Jamaican.
Yes, so am I. We should all be.
Yes.
Many one people, as we say.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Really,
definitely. And is there anything else you want to share with us about what you're doing now, or how the Basic in Jamaica helped you to be where you are?
Well, as going back to that diversity, in terms of being in the hospitality business and sharing my experience with my students, I really am thankful that I did get to grow up in an environment where we really encourage children to be their best and to do their best and not set limits on themselves. No matter what their backgrounds were, my mom, who is my hero, she instilled that in me, and I was always an innovator. I always, you know, tried to challenge myself to go beyond and above what is expected of me, and I was always willing to take on a challenge, and I also have passed that on to my children. So I challenge our young people being raised not to be consumed by the American culture, because I know the electronics have brought everything home to them, not to get away from their heritage and to really appreciate where they are, what they have, and to strive always to be their best, no matter what their situation is.
Amen. Well said. Well said. At this point, I'd like to take a minute to say you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And I see we have many callers on the board. And since we're celebrating our heritage tonight and giving thanks, I wondered if there's anyone who would like to share with us and the rest of the world, but you can do so by hitting 1 on your telephone, and it will indicate not that you want to go to the bathroom when you put up your hand, but I see that you want to join the Labrish. So I'd love to welcome you, so feel free to hit 1 on your phone. So back to you, Miss Angela. Did you have siblings?
Yes, I had one sister that grew up with me.
Older or younger?
Older. She's 3 years. In fact, I'm visiting here, her in Miami, while I'm here for Thanksgiving.
Wonderful.
Yes. But it was funny because I had a very good friend, Patricia. We were inseparable, and most people, when they saw us three together, they thought, my friend was a sister and my sister was a cousin, because she's lighter and more sedate and quieter, and we were always very loud and outspoken and vivacious in our demeanor. So it was always funny. They always thought my sister was the cousin and my friend was my sibling. So that was always a little funny thing for us.
Right. And I noticed on the information you sent me, you said that you're now studying for your PhD.
Well, I'm researching the different programs that I have various interests in terms of what the future holds for me. I am of two minds right now. I want to do something in theology because I want to give back, and I'm a Christian, so I want to really share my faith, and I want to also help others establish small businesses in the hospitality industry. So I'm looking for the right mix in terms of sharing my faith and also continuing with my career in teaching and assisting others.
Right. And I see you have, what do you have, a son and a daughter?
Yes, I do.
Do you have any grandchildren?
I have one granddaughter and I have one grandson on the way. He should be.
Wow. Congratulations.
His in the next 2 weeks. Thank you very much.
Oh, great. Yes. So he's going to be almost a Christmas baby.
Yes.
Great. That's fantastic. Well, I want to, again, welcome everyone that called in, and for those listening online, thank you so much for your support. I know we're getting ready for a big turkey day, and I promise Miss Angela that I would have her just take as much time as she wants. She does, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about some Thanksgiving facts that we may not know, because perhaps we just know about eating the turkey and we know a little bit about it. But I found some fun facts that I would like to share once Angela is finished with her experiences that you want to share with us. So, Miss Angela, the floor is still yours. We have a lot of time.
Well, one of the things that I do as well is really participate in my church, and Thanksgiving is a big thing for us to give back. And I'm actually in the process. I told them I would be out of the meeting for 30 to 45 minutes, so I do have to get back there so we can get ready for tomorrow.
Okay, well, I want really thank you for sharing with us. And callers on the board, anybody want to say anything to Angela, please put hit one on your telephone so I can pipe you in. So you've got a couple of seconds to do so before I say goodbye. And I want to share these fun facts I want to with you if you would like to hang on and hear them.
Sure.
But Ms. Angela, thank you. Oh, I see a hand going up, so just give me a minute. I will open the mic to 631451. Hold on. Welcome to the backyard. Your mic is open. You got Margaret and Angela. Who do I have and where are you calling from?
Hi, Margaret and Angela. This is Janine from Long Island.
Welcome, Ms. Janine.
Hi, how are you?
Just wonderful.
Great. Yes,
Ms. Janine is a very loyal fan, so I want to really give you a nice Thanksgiving welcome.
Thank you. Same to you. All the best for Thanksgiving.
Thank you. What would you like to share with us this evening? Did you want to ask Angela a question?
Well, I was listening to all she had to say, and some of the things I can remember myself with a standing on one foot.
Oh, really?
Yes. That was
I got
a popular
pain.
One. Yes, that was a popular one in Jamaica.
Oh, yeah. Yes. No, I never remember that one.
Yes, I can relate to that. But I just want to say, you know, thanks for sharing her story with us.
You're welcome.
And that I wish her the best with what she wants to achieve further on, you know, so.
Thank you so much, Ms. Janine.
Well, thank you, Ms. Janine. Thanks for sharing that with us. Well, I just want to give you a little quick thing before we get off the school thing. One thing that stand out for me, I went to, what's the name of it? Senior Moment. But anyway, I think it was Calabar, but it had another Christian name beside that. And they had a rule where if the gates get closed at a certain time, and if you are late, then you go into a special room because you're going to be caned.
Yes, yes.
I had a legitimate reason to be late. I think my mother was sick or something. And we had an English headmaster, and he would tell you how many lashes you're going to get with the cane, depending on your crime.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he said like I was getting six, and I decide, well, you know, my mother is sick. I was late. Oh, yes, I was late, but I'm not taking six. I'm taking four. So you had to put your hand out, and they hit you, and you put the other hand out, and they hit you. And they weren't allowed to hit you on your back in those days.
No.
And if you fold your arm, that means you're not taking any more.
Oh,
and I did it. Well, you know, I got expelled. When I
told
my children, no, I was expelled for school because I bluntly refused. So
talk about being
vocal. I was very vocal. I said, no, my reason for being late was quite legitimate, and I don't believe I deserve it. I think I should be an attorney or something. I see another hand up at 631451. Or is that you still, Ms. Janine? Oh, no,
yes,
it's still
that's
you.
Fine. But,
so,
you know,
yes.
Margaret, I remember that, too. I went to Vars Prep, and if you're late, the gate, you know, they close the gate at a certain time. If you're late, you have to stand outside until after prayers, and they would come out, and Mrs. Vars would come out and open the gate and let you in. And sometimes I would run late because of my little brother that I used to take to school. And on the way to school, he would tease all the dogs on the way with a piece of stick. And but we had a room, as you said, where they would take us. But there were times, there was a bed in the room, and there were times when she would put us across the bed.
Oh, really?
Yes, hit us with a cane. Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
This was the male headmaster, and I think I heard he wasn't allowed to hit us on the back or so we had to put our hands out.
No, she would hit us on her bottom, and when she hit my brother, and my mother was so upset she had to go there because, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were certainly strict in those days. Well,
yes.
Miss Angela, I know you have to run. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
It was my pleasure, and good luck with your program.
I hope you will
really
be back again.
I sure will. Thank you, and have a great Thanksgiving to you all.
You too.
Thank you, and I'd also
God
like
bless.
You to share the information with your friends and
I
have
will.
Them tune into Backyard Lavish.
I will. Thank you so
okay.
much. Okay. Have a good night.
Night.
Good night.
Bye.
Well, I'd like to share, we have a couple more minutes, and folks on the board, you know, feel free, and those listening online, feel free to call 718-766-4558. So I am going to not keep you too long, but if you'd like to hear some fun facts about the upcoming holiday, which is just a couple hours away, I'd love to share them with you. So you know that the pilgrims are the first ones to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Right.
But does anybody know the relationship between the nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb, and Thanksgiving? Anybody want to take a shot at that? This is like a trivia.
Mary
so
Had
I don't
a Little
prizes, but anybody knows?
About
was
Mary Had a Little
about,
Lamb? Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Uh-huh.
If I remember it.
Do you know the connection it may have with to Thanksgiving?
Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you quickly.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lady called Sarah, J-O-S-E-P-H-A, Hale. Sarah Hale.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the author of the nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
But she waged a tireless campaign to make Thanksgiving a national holiday in the mid-19th century.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
That. Yeah.
So not only was she a writer of nursery rhymes, she was a little political.
Mm.
I love to celebrate passionate people who are passionate about something.
Right.
So I just found that out today. I thought it was interesting. Now, in 2001, the U.S. Postal Service issued a special Thanksgiving stamp, and it was designed by some Margaret Cusack. I like when women do something.
Right.
But she did it in the style resembling the traditional folk art. Needlework. It depicted, you know, that the horn that has the fruits in it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that stamp,
no.
But it's interesting to know that you know, the women are featured in these two little tidbits about Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Now, you'd be surprised to know how many people travel really during that time. That it is estimated that 42.2 million Americans travel at least 50 miles from home to celebrate Thanksgiving. That's a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
42.2 million.
Yeah.
No wonder the roads are jammed.
I know.
They're not only on the roads, but at least they're traveling.
Yes.
No, actually, this is just on the roads because this is from the Automobile Association.
Oh.
Interesting, isn't it?
It sure is.
Now, do you know which is the top state in producing turkeys? I don't even think you could guess because this is so far out, I wouldn't even think of this state
mm-hmm.
as producing the most turkeys. Minnesota.
Wow.
They account for 2/3 of the turkeys sold, which is 248 million turkeys.
Minnesota, but isn't that the state that is very cold?
I should think so. I don't know, but they produce the most.
Wow.
The National Turkey Federation estimates that 46 million turkeys one-fifth of the annual total of it's $235 million is consumed in the United States, and this was 2007. Can you imagine that?
No.
Wow, so I'm sure it's a lot more now.
Yes.
So I just find these facts a little fascinating. In a survey conducted by the National Turkey Federation, nearly 88% of Americans said they eat turkey at Thanksgiving. The average weight of the turkeys purchased for Thanksgiving is 15 pounds, which means that some 690 million pounds of turkey were consumed in the U.S. by Thanksgiving, during Thanksgiving in 2007. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Now, cranberry production in the U.S. is expected to reach 750 million pounds in 2011, which is the year we're in.
Right.
Wisconsin, Minnesota, New Jersey, Oregon, and Washington are the top cranberry-growing states. I don't even know what a cranberry tree looks like. Do you?
No, I've never seen one.
Oh. They remind me of cherries. You know, we have the little cherries in Jamaica, the little red plum cherries.
Yes.
No, they look more like, God, hog plum. You know, the one with the shiny skin. Now, and it's very round and small. What is the name of that plum?
The coolie plum.
Coolie plum, that is it.
Yeah.
Would be like a smaller version of the coolie plum.
Yeah.
Of course, it's totally different, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Now, it's sweet potato is the most plentiful produced in North Carolina, which grew 972 million pounds of the popular Thanksgiving side dish in 2010. Other sweet potato powerhouses included California and Mississippi. And the top producing state together generated, those are the two top producing states, and they generated 2.4 billion, as in B, pounds of the sweet potatoes.
Whoa.
Ain't that something? Mm. I mean, you know, we all have our little special things that we do for Thanksgiving, but we don't really think of the masses that is consuming it.
Yes.
All at the same time, you know, at least the same day,
yes.
At least.
Yes.
It's really, really just interesting. But I know that everybody has to go do their thing, either travel to another place or finish up their special dinner. So with that said, I am going to end the show early tonight. And thank you so much for tuning in. And just thank you for your support. And to remind you that if there is a special show that you think one of your friends may enjoy, just go to if you're on my list, you can always just click on the icon that is below the signature, and you'll get to the Block Talk Radio website. And there you can select the shows. All the shows that was done over the past 3 years are archived. And you can just click on that show. It will start playing. They have commercials on the show now. So once that goes, you'll just hear the show live as if it was just being broadcast. But what you can do, if you have any friends or relatives that might be interested in that particular subject, just copy the URL and send it to them in an email. And once they click on it, they will be able to hear the show. So that is part of the beauty of this technology, which I just encourage all the seniors to embrace, because it may seem a little overwhelming, but once you get the knack of it, I mean, it's a breeze. If this senior can do it, and I have lots of challenges, believe you me, anybody can do it. So I encourage you to, you know, embrace the technology and really utilize it, because when you think of it, anything that's saved in the clouds, like these stories that we're putting together, it will always be there. It cannot be destroyed by fire or flood or tornadoes or hurricanes. It's just always there.
Right.
And just like you, that's where you should have your pictures,
mm-hmm.
and that's where your story will be preserved for a lifetime.
Right.
Well, many lifetimes, because us seniors just have a little more time, hopefully. So with that said, I want to again thank everybody for being here and to really tell you how much I appreciate you and how much I'm thankful to be able to do this. And I really look forward to doing this with you each week. So I hope you'll continue to visit. And like me, you will continue to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica. Miss Janine, you'd have to help me with this tagline. Land we love. We may not be planning to get back there to retire, but we certainly are planning to preserve our wonderful memories.
Amen.
Of the island as we knew it. There's a lot of information about the island as it is now, because the younger generation is certainly utilizing the technology to their benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But what is missing, folks, is the period that we grew up in.
Right.
So, you know, by getting together in the backyard with me each week, I am hoping that we're in that arena. So with that said, I want to wish you a very peaceful, joyful, wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
And make it a great
week.
Week.
God bless.
Thank you, darling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, Audrey.